When you hear the question, what it means to be a real Christian or a true Christian, what comes to your guys' mind?
The question would be, what was the point of Jesus Christ dying on the cross?
How are you getting mad at them for them and want to tell you that, hey, listen, you're just not right because Christ makes us strong?
You don't go to God when you're perfect because you're never going to be perfect. You don't go to God when you think you're good. All we have to do is surrender, trust, and really walk with faith.
And no one else can tell you you're going to church because you actually love Christ. You actually want to go.
Christians nowadays, some of them conform. I find myself conform to other people's ideas and not going down the narrow path. When I say surrender yourself, that means fully just let go of the fact that
you didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where God was taking me, but I prayed. So then I really saw the grace and the glory of God. Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of The Bros Think Big. Today is a great episode and I'm so honored to announce this, because talk about being excited about talking about a topic. This is it. What it means to be a true Christian in a modern world, and seeing how religion can change, I guess, perspective on people, and also in a positive way as well as in a negative manner, to not follow Christ and not follow God properly because of what you've been taught and how religion sometimes takes you away from God. And we have three categories of Christians and three, I guess, type of people that we're really going to get to specifically. This is not going to be the type of episode where we're going to be talking about necessarily how to help somebody to become a Christian or how to guide somebody on becoming a Christian, even though it can be definitely a helping conversation to listen to for anybody. But it's specifically for the Christians who can resonate with this video, to who have heard about Christianity, studied Christianity, are Christians, and also know the Bible, have read the Bible, know who Jesus Christ is, and all that kind of stuff. So let's jump straight to this. First category, without diving too deep into it, I'm going to go on a surface level with the three categories of Christians, is people who are raised in a Christian household, who are taught Christianity and are really, I guess, just brought up with this belief. Nothing else, I guess, outside of that, just really how they believe in their heart and not have been challenging neither themselves or have been challenged by other people far enough to question their own faith and compare it with other religions or other faiths. Number two, Christians who are, following God, love Christ, have read the Bible, go to church, all this kind of stuff. But then when it comes to preaching the gospel or really sharing their faith to the world or to their friends or getting in a conversation or a little debate with somebody that has an opposing belief to them, they don't really like that type of situation. They're really for them, like, private with their beliefs, and they are comfortable with having their belief without necessarily having to put that out there with other people. And then the third one, who are saved, who preach the gospel, who are excited to talk about this topic, who love these type of conversation, like us three right here, and are eager to share the good news with people, even though that's not something we are perfect at, because sometimes it is actually, you have to be very bold, you have to be educated when it comes to debating somebody about it, but it still comes down to what do you want and what do you kind of like enjoy. I personally, if I'm getting in a conversation where somebody challenges me on my beliefs, I personally like that. I think it's one of the ways that you can understand how strong your faith is and how strong your belief in a specific thing is. For me personally, when I picked out these three and I was typing these, it really resonated with me. That's the phases that I went through, number one, number two, and number three, which is something that we will get to later. But when you hear the question, what it means to be a real Christian or a true Christian, what comes to your guys' mind?
So, I mean, when it comes to being a Christian nowadays, it comes down to just kind of being a label, I feel like, nowadays. Like, people kind of, they throw it around. Anyone can wear a cross. Anyone can go to church. Anyone can say, yeah, I believe in a God, or I believe in Jesus, I believe in this or that, but do you actually like live that out in your daily lives? And by no means am I going to sit here and be like, I'm perfect, because we all struggle on a daily basis, like trying to follow that faith and trying to walk in Christ and stuff like that. But it's a growing relationship that you go along that journey. But like what I see and what I saw in myself is that like I wasn't necessarily, when I got brought into like believing in Christ, I wasn't really focusing on me being a Christian, but me focusing on, I mean, what it really means, like what God wants for me, what Jesus Christ wants for me, not what the church wants for me, not what Christianity as a label or a stereotype wants for me, but Jesus Christ as God, what he wants for me, not what the religion Christianity wants for me. So yeah, that's where my thoughts are at.
What was your original question? For me, like, kind of go off of that, but I know
it's So when you hear a question, what does it mean to be a true Christian or a real Christian?
Okay.
What do you think about?
Yeah, I mean, what Mike said, I would put it the same way. Like, walking on the path that, and, like, whatever it says in the Bible, kind of following the Gospels and everything, right? Instead of what the religion wants to tell you. Because I feel let's just say, the first two religions were Catholic. Not let's just say it was like that, Catholic and Orthodox, right? But one concern that I have that I always tell everyone is, it's not that I don't trust Orthodox or Catholic, right? I mean, I trust Orthodox more than Catholic. I know Catholic's just more corrupt. But any religion, even non-denominational, and any religion in general, it can be corrupt one way or another because, it started off as original, Catholic and Orthodox, but in the way it could have been corrupted because it's humans that are controlling this. So we're not perfect. You know, we might just read some verse from a Bible and it might be from a selfish point of view where a priest might just take that however they want to interpret it and spread it to people and then kind of brainwash people, right?
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen to every church. It happens only to some of the churches.
Right.
I personally think that Orthodox Church is a very traditional and very good church to go to because of the liturgy, everything is just like, the only problem with that is some churches, you just got to know the priest on a personal level almost, and you have to connect with them because it's in every church. Like, it's a community that you have to trust that the priest is actually, or the pastor.
Or
a pastor is like authentic, you know what I mean? They actually want to help you. It's almost like there shouldn't be a hierarchy like in some churches when you go and it's like they're all doing it for power. They're all doing it for money, fame even. You know what I mean? Those kind of things should not exist in churches.
Yeah.
Like political things should not be like involved in it. Yeah, exactly. Which you see that mostly in Georgia though, like where churches, well, some churches don't actually like try to push it into politics. Like
on a personal level, what does it mean to be a true Christian? Not like what you hear when it comes to Christianity and what it means to be what Christianity is. I mean, on a personal level, when you are claiming to be a Christian, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Because like Mike said,
people are not following the religion, but following Christ.
Yeah,
and the religion itself should be based on
biblical
truth and Jesus Christ teachings.
100%. Yeah, the reason why I brought this up is because I know we have been brought up in a household where, you know, we're Christians. We were born Christian. We went to church. Our parents taught us fear of God, which is a very good thing. Something that's definitely missing in the world. The love of God as well. But until you have the personal relationship with God, it's very hard for you to have any type of conviction or any type of belief so strong to be able to then go and teach somebody else, because something that you don't even know or you don't even feel in your heart is right, it's very hard for you to then go in and teach it to somebody else. That's why I think, you know, those are the little differences that you can see with the relationship with God than the difference between somebody who is just playing church or goes to church, claims to be just a Christian, and it has that label that they put that above everything else. You know what I mean? Because then that itself, the religion, then becomes what you serve, kind of what you claim to be. Because then you are falling into a category of how every other Christian is, type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And we can even talk about church too, because even before, like, so I feel like some people who like claim to be like Christians and stuff like that, it's almost like there's some people who like, oh, like they feel like they need to go to church, they have to in order to like earn their way to like heaven or whatever in order to be a good person and stuff, or they don't go to church because they feel like, oh, I don't really need it and stuff like that. Like I was in the same position where it's like, okay, I even still now it's like, you don't necessarily like need to go, you don't, people shouldn't really feel like they need to go to church. They actually like need to be forced to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. I feel like that's like kind of like ruins the whole like relationship sort of thing. It should be like you because you love Christ and because you walk in him, you go to church, right?
Yeah.
Not because you have to, not because you're forced to, nothing like that, but because you want to be around these types of people. You want to help other people. You want to learn a little bit more from the pastors, the people around you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And even before I came from like, before like calling myself a Christian, like I would really just call myself a follower of Christ, like who practices, teaches his teachings and reads the word, etc.
Yeah.
I was really just kind of against like church and against all these like other practices with other people because I was kind of biased. I grew up in not really a Catholic home, but I went to Catholic school and I saw the Pope with his staff, the robe, with this big Bible. No one can touch the big Bible except him.
Yeah.
And it was just really like
weird. You have to tell him your sins and he kind of,
I have to confess to the priest my sins. I have to tell him what it's about. And it kind of, once I got out of Catholic church in like third grade and onward, I kind of just forgot about God. I kind of forgot about like any of that stuff. Because when I was in Catholic school,
religion,
like I was learning about Jesus and like the stories and stuff like that. But I really wasn't like knowing God. I was just being fed information and just being told to spit it right out.
Yeah.
That's what school is. It's right. Just you 1 year and then you kind of put it on a piece of paper to make sure that what we're teaching you. But
yeah.
Other than that, 100%. When I came to realize, is like, okay, there's something going on here. There's the universe that's real. Okay, the laws of the universe. Okay, things are making sense. Things happen for a reason. So energy is real. Spirituality is real. And you just start going down this trail towards, okay, like what is it about God that I really want to know? Like, and then you go down that journey of finding all these religions, Christianity, all the other ones like Judaism, all these things. But being called to being a Christian resonated with me because of the fact that it felt so real. Like it, in my personal experience, when I read the Bible, when I read about Jesus Christ, something inside of me just feels like I'm feeling called towards this. And
yeah,
it's not easy. Like I don't really want to have sex before, like, I don't really want to have sex. I don't have to wait till marriage to have sex. I don't want to stop doing some things. I want to be able to,
just kind of live the life in the world.
But once you get closer to Christ and stuff like that, you begin to realize, like, wow, I can actually get rid of some of these things. Like, wow, it's like, I don't,
you're not even attracted to this kind of things, too.
Yeah, you're no longer attracted to a lot of these things. And that's like what it really means. Like, you start. Once you get closer to him, you realize, wow, I don't need a lot of these things that the world tells me that I do.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. And that's how me and Georgie were. We went to church every now and then on big holidays. Our household was never a type of house where, Bible or a lot of teachings about Bible or God. It was, we were taught prayers. We were taught, like I said, the fear of God, love of God, to understand that there's a God out there and it's not just nothing and meaningless stuff, which is good and all. But when you go to a church, you don't understand why you're going there. You're going there because it's a label. You're a Christian, therefore you have to go to a church. You're a Christian.
And because, it's almost like a requirement. Yeah, it's not,
it is.
It doesn't come from the need. And this is...
Does it come from the heart?
Exactly. I think this also is a big thing where you need to understand it on your like... Because you have to be like the only one that will realize this. No one else can tell you you're going to church because you actually love Christ. You actually want to go.
Yeah.
That just comes within. You have to be true to yourself, I feel like. And, you have to know, why am I going to church? Do I actually want it or I don't? And sometimes it's really good for you to give yourself a time and not go to church every single time. And go when you want to more, because then you will start loving it more than
being forced to.
Being forced to, exactly. And, playing something is just the most ridiculous thing ever. That's what makes you hate something. You're doing it for other people to see that you're going to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
It's just the best for you to not care about that. And just, I think it should be at least requirement for somebody to, for people to go on Sundays, because it's like the end of the week where you just give all your time to Christ. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we had a conversation with Cole too, and he actually made a really good point. It's like, the requirement of going to church on Sundays, people just think it's like, and people just dress up and just go to church just to play like church. But the real idea of going to church on Sunday is giving your like whole day, at least the morning, not the whole day. I mean, some people stay there for a long time, but at least the morning to God, you know what I mean? Because all the other time you're actually like doing your own thing. You don't really go to church every day. And end of the week, you just go and kind of dedicate that time and pray and all this stuff, like, you know, liturgy and everything. And like, even if that's not, I know you mentioned the thing with like, what's it called? Telling your sins to a priest, right? But I also have a good point to that. Like, you might think that it's not a good thing to do, but I feel like it's also what's it called?
It can be healthy for sure.
It's definitely healthy though, because even the church we go to, right, the pastors, there's something in you that bothers you, you can go talk to them. It's the same way you can talk to the priest. I think it's a stereotype that comes from Catholic Church. I don't know, maybe that they think that
it's not just the Catholic Church. I think it's the whole.
Well, yeah, but like, I feel like it comes from there mostly because, I mean, think about it. Maybe. Like, historically, Catholic Church was the one that was corrupt. Orthodox wasn't really corrupt.
Yeah, like, the Romans.
Exactly.
Did the Romans take, like, kind of took control of, because Roman Catholic Church, like, that's when it came about. The Romans, I think, took over. Because here's the thing, as far as I know, so when Jesus Christ died and then he rose from dead, it was the whole idea of, okay, we saw him rise from dead and the Romans told him to choose between, you know, I guess confessing with their mouth that Caesar is the only king, but then they denied that, therefore they had to be put to death. And all that from then on, the attention rose from towards Christianity to spread, then as, okay, now they really had a lot of faith in Christ, and Christ has to be somebody to be considered, not because it was simply the biased belief, but it was because these people actually lived with him. They saw what he did. There was nothing that Christ did that was wrong. Nothing he did that was bad. He was very authentic, true. And every single historian, even the people who were against him, were writing the same things about Christ as the disciples were saying. So they were like, okay, this isn't adding up. Why does one part of people, I guess, not believe him and then the other do? Because you have to understand, they were Jewish, and then now they just departed from Judaism itself because of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy, to then starting a whole different movement that had nothing to do with Christianity itself, but had to do with the gathering. Because at the time, they had to be quiet about gathering and just being together, is just together. That's where the ecclesia, the word, comes from. Is the gathering, right? Greek word, Greek Latin word. And is the gathering and you know, talking about Christ, walking with Christ, teaching each other things, all that kind of stuff. That was the ministry. And then later on, it expanded to that becoming a bigger thing. And when something becomes big, there's more people involved in it. And then it
could be more corrupt.
And then it can be more corrupted. But in terms of how the history goes on like Roman Catholic Church, I don't know if Romans kind of attacked the whole,
I mean, even Christian, what I see, Catholic Church is more corrupt than Orthodox. I mean, like, if we're comparing the two original churches that came along from the same time, one's corrupt more than the other. And I don't want to just say like, oh, Catholic Church is like, all the Catholic Church is corrupt, right? But even their beliefs is nowhere close to what Orthodox believe. Orthodox don't believe that you know, they don't really put Virgin Mary on a
pedestal.
Yeah, right. But I know Catholics do, and they're also like into this big sin and a small sin, right? Some Orthodox might believe that, I mean, people, but I'm pretty sure as far as church and priests go, I don't think they really teach that there's big and small sin,
right.
They always just mention sin, right? That's one. And the second thing is, in order for you to become spiritually clean too, you need to talk to someone, right? I mean, just the same way you're sharing your like mistake to a friend, right? For example, it's the same way you can talk to the priest, because you got to think about it. Like I said, it always comes to, at the end of the day, it always comes to if you trust the priest or not. And if it's a good community, I'm talking about like a good community that you trust the priest. And like, you can almost understand if the priest is like real or not, you know what I mean? Like if they're a good person or not. Right. So, and sharing it to them, cause they read more than, you know, most people
that go there.
Yeah. Go there. I mean, they're like almost like all day. Sometimes they even sleep there.
Yeah.
And
it's like when you talk to these people, obviously there's just better ways they can probably like help you out than you can help out yourself. So, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
I used to see it different too, but now that I'm like thinking about it and you know, I've had conversations with people, it just like makes more sense.
No, it definitely does. It definitely does. And I feel like what opened our minds was just the fact that we went to a Protestant church and understood what it means to study a Bible, what it means to sit down and really open up the book yourself with everybody at a specific time. And now you are learning about the Bible, which is the book that tells us about God, not the priest necessarily saying it, but the source, the number one source that talks to us about God. And that's what I'm saying. That's where the whole playing church comes in the picture. It's you go to church is one thing, but what you do outside of going to church, even on those Sundays, is what matters. That's what it means to be a true Christian, is how do you live your life? Not according to what church tells you, not according to what the priest says, but according to you necessarily, you feeling in your heart that this is my calling. This is what I meant to do. God is speaking to me. You know what I mean? And you are led with the Holy Spirit to then go and preach the gospel and be bold about your faith because you are convicted and you truly believe that you have been saved because Christ died on the cross for us. And now you want to, with that same understanding, same faith that your heart is changed from one person to a different person. Now you want that to be felt by somebody else and really for them to also experience such love and such passion towards something. So that's, I think that's the biggest difference that comes in between people who don't really have an idea on why they're doing the things that they're doing. I think it's better to go to church than not go to church. At least you're kind of understanding and there's some knowledge, that wisdom that is being stored in your subconscious. But then at the end of the day, that can also be the very reason why you are, I guess, pushing back from religion itself because of what you see happening in religion. Because religion and God are just two opposite things. One is made by man and one is God who is the creator. So I think that's why it's a key point to make that we're not really like talking about Orthodox or Catholic or Protestants in this specific episode, which maybe we can talk about that in a different one. But I want this to be specifically about a personal relationship that one can have with God. Therefore, they can go and preach the gospel and proclaim the good news to everybody else, just what you know Jesus Christ calls us to do. Now, I know you said you like, okay, when was your specific journey on believing in the universe, right? Or understanding, oh, like there's a reality out there and it's, I can't just do whatever I want to type of thing. You know what I mean? Because I feel like we all had our moments where we did things that were righteous in our hearts and we wanted to justify that because we were caught up with the world. But then at some point we had to kind of snap out of it and realize that, yo, there's actually a better way to live and there's a better side to where I am. You know what I mean? Like the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, and I wrote a couple points here because as we're going to talk about is why people refuse to kind of pick up their cross and why people refuse to even take on the responsibility of having a relationship with God, because it's not easy. It's not like all sunshine and rainbows. It's not this like this cute thing, I mean, but
they always have, there's struggles that come with it.
There's struggles in all relationships and stuff like that. So when you walk with God, it's the more, the closer you get with him, the more that you realize like, wow, I have to like almost become a different person almost and like deny myself, right? Deny yourself from the things that you once were. And so what I realized is the lifestyle that I was living before I became a Christian or I became a follower of Christ, I was being very lazy. I was not really doing much with my life. I was being a degenerate. I was just doing a bunch of things that I thought were meaningful and that I thought were going to bring me fulfillment in life, but were just not. They left me empty. I was a little bit more, I was more depressed. I had a lot of anxiety. I was really just stressed out like all the time. I was just like, why am I living like this? And once from that path, I decided to take on like a more fulfilling life, which is, I mean, the journey of self-development, self-improvement. The moment I really found God was when it was all the times I really spent by myself. When I began to like question things, when I began to think more, like, what is my, like, why am I here? Like, what is the purpose? Like, what is the point of all this?
Like, what's the next step, right? Type of thing.
Exactly. And I feel like if people were to, like, sit down with themselves, like, only themselves, and really ask those questions, like, out loud to themselves, like, maybe talk out loud to God or something like that, you'll realize, like, wow, I actually need to, everyone is called, everyone's chosen to take on this path, but not many people will take on, I mean, that call to action towards the narrow path. It's narrow for a reason. Not many people can fit through it.
Yeah.
And so what I feel like with Christians nowadays is that they put this label that, okay, yes, I'm a Christian, but they're still not really willing to go down that narrow path. And it's not easy. Like I said, it's a thing that I struggle with on a daily basis, always trying to choose which path to go down and stuff. And the biggest thing is, like, conformity. Like, in this broad, narrow path, everyone's going down there. People are looking down the narrow path, being like, why are you going down there? What's the point? Yeah. They're looking down at you. They don't really understand. And people, like Christians nowadays, some of them conform, and sometimes like I find myself conforming to other people's ideas that are not going down the narrow path. And it's just like this battle that we constantly face with picking up our cross, putting it down, picking it back up. I mean, looking to Jesus Christ and following it. So it's a constant, like, put down, pick up, get stronger, keep walking, things like that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think one of the things that is about, like, picking up the cross that I realized when you were talking is, when Jesus Christ was going to be crucified, he had to pick up the cross because he knew what he was, what his goal was, what his mission was, what his purpose was. So when we're called for our purpose, and in a biblical sense, this is to preach the gospel and preach the kingdom of God, not about what the world tells us about how this is such a beautiful place, but to really understand and grasp that heaven is even better, and that our goal at the end of the day is that, I guess, reunion with our Creator. Is that's when you become the most separate from the world. That's when the world kind of rejects you. That's when the world thinks you're crazy. That's when the world questions you the most. And when I say the world, I am tying in a lot of temptations, devil's tricks, people, you know, just talking in your ear saying, yo, like, are you sure? What are the facts? What are the evidence? Like, why do you even believe it? What if it's just you having that in your, having an emotional attachment to this, but in reality, that's not true. It's not facts. There's no science that backs this up, and all kinds of things. And now you have to face this adversity and really, really study it hard and ask yourself a question. Why am I actually on this path? Are these people right? Or am I right on being on this narrow path? You know what I mean? And that's when it's the hardest, because you are most alone on that path for the most part. Like, when you start putting your faith in Christ truly and following him with your heart, that's when you feel the lonely the most, because that's what he had to go through. Because of him picking up his cross and bearing the responsibility that only he could bear, that's when he got rejected by his disciples. That's when he was alone the most. That's when he was hurt the most, physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's when he was going through the toughest moments, is when he had that responsibility that he was called to. So I think there's just a lot of examples that you can bring up with these ideas. And that's what it means to be that true Christian when it comes to picking up your cross and not conforming to what people have to be telling you, you know, in your ear, and just kind of hearing all kinds of ideas. You have to really have that conviction. And I think without the relationship that you're seeking out and truly wanting to have a relationship, it's very hard, because you are lost in your head, and everything and anything that somebody says makes sense. Everything's true, kind of thing. You know what I mean? You're not really based in your own belief, because there's no personal connection to God.
Yeah, another point that we could also bring up too, which I think is very important, is either we mentioned it the last episode, or you mentioned it before the podcast. It's the fact that people get too comfortable with, you mean, being saved and stuff. I think, I say, like, I believe in God, or I say I'm a Christian, therefore, like, I'm good. I can, you know, do whatever. I can still, you know, do my thing.
I can go to heaven.
I can be lazy. I don't really need to do much. It's just softness. And especially as Christian men nowadays, like especially I mentioned this in the last podcast, we need to always be on a journey of just growing and becoming better men every single day.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. And that's the journey of picking up your cross, right? It's a journey of growth. It's a journey of purpose and fulfillment and reaching your potential, because God did not put you on earth to stay comfortable in the bed under the covers, to eat all these foods that are hyper palatable, make you addicted. He's not here to put you on earth to make you watch porn or anything like that. He's here to see you grow as a child, a father seeing his child grow and see what he's really capable of, giving him challenges to really
overcome and
shape himself
yeah.
into who he needs to be. And that's what the idea is, denying yourself to become a new self in Christ.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny because I was reading this verse today from the Gospels, Luke's Gospel 12:48. It says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." So this is exactly spot on what you said, is because the responsibility that we have, that we have been saved, and now we have the calling from God to even proclaim his message. And not just that, but to walk with him and grow with him and become a better person for the people around us and change the world into a positive place. That is a big responsibility. So when you have been given that calling, much is required from you. So he's not given people who are saved and have trusted him and have that Holy Spirit in them to just sit back and say, I'm finished. This is all really what I have to do, because it's a gift. So he chose every single one of us who are saved, that he gave us the gift, and he didn't give us the gift to then say, okay, now, you know, I've given you this gift to stay back and do nothing. No, he gave us this gift to then also share this gift with other people and make sure that we keep this gift sacred enough to not keep it private, but really put the love out there, even lead by example what we have to do as Christians truly. And you can take this verse so far to the point where there are now stories in the Old Testament with the prophets, like, let's say, Jonah, when he was called to go to Nineveh to, you know, preach the message of God, like the judgment's coming. But he ignored that calling, so he was swallowed by a whale. And obviously, this is a story, pretty sure it's not literal, is the story shows that he denied the calling from God, the responsibility of going there and traveling all the way to Nineveh to preach the kingdom of God and proclaim the judgment day coming if they don't repent. And he ignored that because he said, oh God, like, why would you judge all these people? Like, how are you going to do this? Why would you do this? Because, you know, God's judgment, as we know, is very, very strong, and it can be scary to so many ways, because you can see that throughout the Bible. And he didn't do this, therefore now he was swallowed by a whale, and for 3 days he was in the whale's belly, and he had to ask God for forgiveness, and he had to repent from those sins and say, I understand you've called me for this, I will do what you want me to do. I'm pretty sure that's kind of like how it goes. And then after that, he was able to go and, you know, walk with the Lord and really do what God called him to do. So, and that's the responsibility itself. If you deny that responsibility from God, there will be things that just will go south until you really understand that, hey, like, God called you for this, therefore it's serious. And not everybody is called for these type of responsibilities, but when you are, I think it's the best thing that can ever happen to you. Imagine the creator that created the whole universe, including you and everybody else, calls you for a mission. He says, I want you, not anybody else, I want you to do this specific thing. And then you deny that. That's just an insult, and also turning your back on God, saying, I know my calling. I don't think you do, and that type of thing. So there's just a lot of things you can take from this.
Deny this as well. Like, when, even if you look at human beings, like, there's always like these two versions of ourselves, like, battling each other, like the self that
inner spiritual war type of thing.
Exactly. Right? And it's a spiritual war that everyone's going through. And when I hear Jesus say, deny yourself, what I think about is me denying that voice inside of my head. It's telling me to mean, oh, sleep in a couple extra hours. Oh, don't do this extra task. Or you don't need to go to the gym. You don't need to push that hard. You don't need to do this. Oh, stab this person in the back. Oh, yell back at this person. Oh, do this, like, do that. And it's all like ego. It's all this worldly version of ourselves that is fleshly here.
Desires.
That's not going with us and that comes out of ourselves to... And we're constantly like in this battle with this version of ourselves, like our highest self, our lowest self. It's crazy to think that when we think about this version of ourselves who is doing everything right, he is a man of God, like he's this the spiritual, like he's there. Like you can you guys like kind of imagine like yeah. you're like a better version of yourself, like the highest version of yourself almost? Like
yeah.
Like in your mind almost. Like it's that person versus like their lowest self. And this is what Jesus says when he says like deny yourself, deny the self that is the lowest version of yourself and
yeah.
become, I mean, step into your highest, step into this person who I have planned for you to become.
Right. And I think that's where it comes from. Like the envision of that higher self of yours, like the spiritual likeness or the image of God that we all have in us is that specific thing is God gives us this vision. God gives us the consciousness to realize that there is better potential. There's a bigger potential that we have, but he never really tells us, okay, this is really how the plan is going to be, meaning step by step. You have to take the next step. You have to jump for the net to appear. We mentioned this in different episodes. That's the whole idea is that when he shows you vision, that's really what you need in the start. It starts from the vision here. And then how do you act upon the vision is really what then develops you into a character. And that's why when the Bible says and when Jesus says many are called, in fact, in some sense, every single person is called. I personally don't know anybody, at least like within most part of the world that has not heard the name Jesus or has not heard God in general. Everybody has that understanding that there's a God out there. It's just what people do with it. So when many are called to even the idea of God and what Jesus wants us to do, not many will take on that, I guess, challenge to even study more or to understand, want to be thirsty for more knowledge, or at least understand, okay, is this somebody to be considered even? Is this somebody to even trust? Like when these thoughts don't even come to your mind, you're just caught up with the world and with your own world that you have created in yourself that you think you have all figured out, that there's nothing and nobody else outside of that you need to even be open-minded enough to study and just read. You know what I mean? If you can't even open up a Bible to read one verse or open it up to learn more or just challenge the Bible, challenge God in a sense, like wrestle with God that, okay, I want to know more and I want to even understand if you're real or not. If you don't even have that, it just shows that you're not even interested in learning more. And that's, I think that's pride. And that's the biggest sin, like out of most of them. It's because now you have trusted that you know everything and you're prideful of your own knowledge, that there's nothing else that you can learn. And that's when your growth stops. It's when it completely shatters.
And I wrote another point here, which is another reason why people refuse to pick up the cross. And it comes from a fear of vulnerability. It's a fear of losing their pride. Like you said, they're afraid to be weak. They're afraid to kind of
be vulnerable,
seek out help and be like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, confess what sins? Like, I'm good. Like, everyone else is bad. Oh, I'm always right. There's actually people like this in the world that they think they're always right. That think like
I used to be one for sure.
Yeah, like I used to. It's just ego, right? It's always just like, oh yeah. And if like someone were to poke at that ego and like be like, no, like you're wrong.
That's when it hurts the most.
Yeah, that's when it hurts the most. When you like when someone else like calls you out for your weaknesses or that you're actually wrong. It's like you get mad at them. Like, why are you getting mad at them for them? I mean, want to tell you that, hey, listen, like you're just not right. It's okay to not be right. It's okay to be weak, right? Because Christ makes us strong.
Yeah.
We are weak, therefore we can become more strong, right? If you're just strong all the time, like then it's just like, what's the point? If you're just perfect, if you're a perfect being, if you know everything and you're so strong, then what's the point of, it's almost like the opposite. It's like if you're so perfect and like you're almost like dead.
Yeah.
Because like, what, nothing because is happening.
Because the question would be, what was the point of Jesus Christ dying on the cross? And then there's no answer to that because you are not perfect. You know what I mean? So when you can't answer that question, especially that serious question, it's just like, then it just becomes, you're not perfect. So therefore you have to realize that everybody needs help. So you have to always kind of ask for help. And I do even have the, well, from the Bible, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So I feel like this, the way it speaks to me is like having the relationship to one another, meaning that as of followers of Christ and as human beings, we have to help each other just and spread love and even patience with each other.
Yeah, it's harsh.
Exactly, truth. Because that's what Jesus did. Like, he didn't care how people were going to feel. He told them the truth and how he was going to be. He didn't really care that people were going to be like scared of the, what's it called? You know, you don't know the time and the hour and you'll be judged and all this stuff. He wanted them to know the truth, because I feel like if we really, really dive deep down to what love is, it's, you know, telling somebody the truth. What's the point of actually caring about someone if you don't tell them the truth? Like, if you lie to someone and they don't know the truth, well, like what's coming, like you don't really care about them. That's just what it comes down to.
You just want
to
make them feel good at the moment, but then when the reality hits,
when they realize that after years, and you know what I mean, like that would be the best feeling you would ever had. You would get, because then it's like your truth saved them. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you never told them the truth, they would never know the truth.
Yeah.
So this is just like even the one you were recently saying, like what it means to be follower of Christ, like a real one. I mean, first thing that comes to my mind is just helping one another and, you know, being the same person as Jesus, you know what I mean? Like kind of
trying to replicate. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like
100%. Yeah. You guys really hit it on point when you guys, you know, talked about just like the truth, because Jesus Christ was very based. He didn't really mind somebody getting mad, because if anything, if you point out something about about that person that you see that they might not be seeing, if they get angry or mad to the point where they start insulting you or you know getting mad at you, I think it is a very, very well-known fact of psychology that that's when you know you touched the wound. That's when you know that hurts. That means there's something there that's bothering them. Therefore, that's where you need to seek the help. I think psychologists, in fact, do that stuff. They have conversations with people. If they do know that somebody has this weakness, they don't necessarily tell them, hey, like, I know this is your weakness. No, they straight up confront that thing on the spot without the person knowing that they're going at it. They're questioning it, or they're just telling them things to get that out of them. And that's when they understand where to navigate, because they see the problem. So that's what Jesus did, I think, in some sense. He told people what our spirituality and our true nature was like. And there were people who embraced that and turned to him and told them thank you and loved him because of that. And then there were these people who would get mad because he would say something that was true about the human nature of selfishness, ego, you know, pride. Pride, ego would be the same thing. Even the Pharisees, when he would tell them things like, you act so nice and your cup is so clean outside, but inside it's rotten, and you try to display this image of yourself as if you're perfect, but in reality, what's going on inside in your heart is very wicked. And this would get them really, really mad. Otherwise, when you do know that what somebody's telling you just isn't really true, because you know yourself more than they do, why do you get mad about that? You wouldn't. You know what I mean? If I were to tell you, Mike, you're wearing a black hoodie, you probably wouldn't even correct me because you are wearing a black hoodie. But if I said, Mike, you're wearing a blue hoodie, you'd be like, no, Stula, this is black. It's not blue, right? So when you point out things that are actually true, people don't really care much about it. But when you start pointing out things that might bother them inside, that's when they start to speak. So I think when it comes to pointing out things and preaching what Jesus preached and what he taught about the kingdom of God and what sin does to us humans,
if you don't listen to that, then I think you have this self-righteous mindset that you don't need help. Therefore, there's nobody to help you because you got everything figured out and you know, you're not willing to surrender fully.
Yeah. Everything to the point is typed in. Not fully surrendering to the fact that, hey, listen, this narrow path, it might hurt a little bit. You're going to be misunderstood. And just when I say surrender yourself, that means fully just let go of the fact that you're going to feel a lot of things in this journey. You're going to be really confused. You're going to not know the next couple steps. But surrendering to the fact that I trust Jesus Christ. I trust that this is happening for a reason. I trust that things are going the way that they need to go, right? In order for this purpose to be fulfilled while I'm here on earth and stuff like that. And like going all in and surrendering like with Jesus Christ, it's a lot, right? And it kind of hurts a little bit. And
it's a lot of faith.
It is a lot of faith. That's why it is faith, because you take a couple steps forward, but the next couple steps, you don't know what's going on. You might take a step back and then you might take another step forward. It's just so confusing. Yeah. It can be really... it's a rocky road. It's a really wicked road, but narrow, like I said.
Yeah, 100%. Even Luke Bermar said this too. Imagine God as somebody who steers the boat, but you have to be the one rowing it. If you don't row, what's the point of God steering it? And if he was the one that did both rowing and steering, what would you do? Just be on a boat and do nothing? Which it wouldn't make sense because it's your life. Like, you don't have all the time in the world to do anything you want. We actually do realize as humans, every single one of us, that there is a limited time of our being, and we get old, and it's not like we reverse our age. So we understand the importance of time. So us putting in the work and trusting him and surrendering that he knows where we're going. We just need to be that obedient child that our father is taking us to the right place, that he is leading us on a righteous path, the purposeful path that we were called to go on. That's the surrender that it takes. That's the faith it takes. People a lot of the times discredit the power of faith. People don't like to say faith is a good thing. People, in fact, say it's just a blind faith. You don't really know where you're going. You're just putting your trust in somebody that might not even exist, and you might be living in a false reality and all that kind of stuff. But that mindset itself is destructive, because every single day that person lives with faith. They don't know what's coming next. They don't know what's going to happen on the road, yet they're willing to still, you know, get in their car and drive to where they're going because they have the faith that they will get to the place safe. You know what I mean? So I think it's a very good thing to put in perspective with people that don't look at faith as a good thing, because I think faith is what makes us strong in love with God. Is I had moments in my life where I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where God was taking me, but I prayed. I say, God, I know where you're taking me. I trust you with this. I surrender every single thing in my life, financially, spiritually, physically, whatever it may be. I put in your hands. And then when I started to be really obedient and not complain about what would happen in my life, then I really saw the grace and the glory of God and what happened in my life. And that's all I wanted to do, is give it to him and let him deal with something that I might not necessarily, I might not understand how valuable it is. You know what I mean? And this comes down to even your purpose, is if you don't know what you're called to do, or you're not even understanding who you're meant to be, give it to God, because he knows what you're going to be, and he's going to transform you from head to toe to a whole different person that you probably would never imagine would be. And that's when you really understand that faith mm-hmm. is what gets you that strong relationship.
By the way, is Philippians written by Paul?
Philippians, yeah, it is. It is in the New Testament. Okay. Paul wrote, yeah, pretty sure.
To
Paul
Philippi, wrote. Yeah,
yeah,
okay. Right to Philippi.
Philippi, yeah.
You want to say something?
No, go ahead.
So I wanted to say too, like, some examples of surrendering fully, like how this can look like in your daily life is, for example, if you want to fix a relationship with your girlfriend, right? You maybe you not accidentally, you cheated on her, right? Yeah. And now you guys are having problems and stuff like that. You really want to fix it. You ask God, I really want to fix this relationship. What do I do? And he says, tell her the truth. And now you're like, wait, wait, like that's going to take a lot out of me. That's so much. But no, you must surrender. Ask and you shall receive, but you must just surrender to the process that I'm going to give you in order to get that thing that you want.
Right.
So the universe kind of, or God has made the universe in a way that it reciprocates back to you, like what you want. You mean like whatever you say to God, like, God, I want X, Y, Z. He says, okay, do this and surrender to the process. Yeah. Right. So it's like now the guy who cheated on his girlfriend has to tell him like, oh, I don't really want to really tell her, but I must surrender and be obedient. And because I trust that this will be fixed if I tell the truth, because that's what I feel from God, right? Talking to him, speaking to him. Right. And that's just an example.
No, it's a good example because
100%.
The more great things you want, the greater work you have to put in to get the great things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Small work you put in, the small thing you receive. So it's very good.
Yeah, and easy greatness is just temporary. Like things that are given to people so easily tend to fall and be really fragile.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not built up. There's no foundation.
Yeah, and even with examples like tell the truth and you will be free, or in a situation where you don't feel like telling the truth because that's the hardest thing, realizing that telling the truth is the best outcome after knowing that. Okay, how about this? I bring up an example so that way I can explain it better. I had situations where I was content with telling my parents the truth, even though I knew I was going to get in a big trouble, or I had to tell a lie. So there were both moments where
not just
I
in trouble, made, but it's hard to tell the truth. You know what I mean? Because for whatever reason,
exactly. It's just sharing something. Yeah, it is kind of shameful that you are now telling them that, hey, like this is what I did. This is who I am type of thing. You're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position. And I've done both. I've told them a lie and I've gotten in trouble. I've been spanked because I did the wrong. And then when they realized that I told a lie in the process, it was more trouble. But then there has been situations where I probably did something terrible, but because I told the truth, they actually liked the fact that I told the truth. And, you know, they told me in a very peaceful manner. They taught me, they explained it to me, but I never really got in a big trouble nor felt guilty after I told the truth, which is actually funny. When you do something wrong and you tell the truth and you really repent from your heart that you truly feel like you did something wrong and you apologize to somebody, no matter if they forgive you or not, you feel free. You don't feel guilt anymore. It's like a therapeutic type of thing when you tell the truth, and when you know the truth is no matter who forgives you, no matter who tells you otherwise, it doesn't matter because you know you've done your part is telling the truth. That's the biggest thing that you can do, even with God, is when you truly know that what we have done in this world and what we do every day in terms of sin and the things that we do that turns our back on God is when we repent and truly tell him that you're sorry and you want to be a better person.
You realize
you want him and you truly understand and realize what you've done is that's when you feel most free. That's when you feel most liberated. But when you try to justify your actions, that's when you feel more weight back on your shoulders.
Or
you feel more guilt.
Or there's another example that I want to give is when I would tell the truth, right?
Yeah.
It's like I would feel free like spiritually that I wouldn't be like bothered that, you know, I lied and now I have to live with it. And then when I would tell a lie, they would probably not spank me because it's like I lied. They don't know the truth, right? But then I would feel spiritually even worse because it's better to get spanked than it's better to get spanked than feel like this
guilt
inside you. It's better. It's way better to get spanked.
It's better to tell the truth and you know get spanked than not get spanked.
Like we see the consequence for the action rather than lie, not get like physical hurt.
Yeah.
But it's far more worse when it's when that moral
inside.
And morality and the thing like bothers you inside. But now you have to say that you lied and say the truth that what actually happened.
Yeah, 100%.
And once you lie once, then you have to lie about other things because you already kind of went on that path of lying.
So
now you have to just keep on lying.
What are we, 53 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Just to kind of touch up on like this, I guess people who have this really, really private belief with God and I've met people like this too around me who you can see that
they are really trying to be the best people in the world. They're, you know, morally living best life as much as possible day to day. But then when it comes to topics like confronting one about the things that you see that are not about following Christ, or they're doing things that might be a little bit on the fence with, is it like, how would God look at this? And I think that's a conversation that we need to have with each other, no matter what, even if I'm wrong. I think like in a loving manner and not in an arrogant manner, as if I'm right. I need to tell every single one of my friends and even strangers that, hey, like, this is what I see. I may be wrong, but I just want you to consider it because I love you and I care how you do things in this life, because it does matter. You know what I mean? Because you're either choosing sin or you're choosing to walk with God. So it's a very serious thing. You can't just expect to do something that's sinning against God and also say, oh, it's okay to do it, because in reality, sin separates you from God. So it's not really okay unless you turn away from it. So like I said, when it comes to these topics, people are very sensitive about it. People don't like to talk about it. People feel kind of insulted about it. People don't think that it's something they should tell other people, because it's like, oh, this is my faith. This is what I believe. I don't think I should tell anybody else how to live their life, because I'm not in place to judge them, which is right. But then at the same time, you're not in a place to judge, but you're definitely in a place of that type of responsibility, that when you do see something that is not according to how God calls us to do, you have to point it out. You know what I mean? Because if somebody doesn't see the things that you see, it is there for you to point out. Maybe God gave you the vision, God gave you the knowledge, the wisdom, that when you do see things like that, or you know more than somebody else, you don't lead them on a path that is going away from God, but path towards God. Narrow.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's just, and the reason why I brought that up is because this verse that we wrote down, Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Right? And I think this isn't just to a person, because this gives us a very, very clear image that people will go to Christ to, not those who don't believe in him, but this clearly shows that this will be the people who truly have done the righteous things, that have done good things in the name of the Lord, have prophesied in his name, cast out demons. These are not the little things. But then what he says at the end is pretty scary. It's like, why would Jesus say, I never knew you, depart from me, right? Because I think it's not just what you believe in your heart, but also with the gift and with the glory that you received, what do you do with it? Do you keep it like the selfish servant when the master gave them the coins to do something with it? One multiplied it, so did the other.
Isn't that in Matthew?
Yeah, pretty sure. And then so did the third one, and the one buried it, which you can get to next. But I think this is the same idea, is unless we really do God's will according to his calling for us to preach the gospel and then really proclaim the good news to people, it doesn't really matter what we do, I guess, privately. You know what I mean? You can be a good person all you want privately. You can be a good person that in your life. But if you don't try to point out things in other people's life that will benefit them, and you won't like have the conviction to preach, you know, the love of Christ to other people, and you're kind of ashamed of that type of thing, I think that's kind of what it's referring to. And I've also heard Georgenko explain this specific verse too. It can also mean like when people think that their righteousness is what saves them, that this is kind of the verse that can also go into, is for what reasons are you doing these things? For what reason are you prophesizing God's message? For what reason are you preaching the gospel? To do it for your own fulfillment, so to speak, for your own type of ego, for your type of to be popular, for people to look at you a certain way, even though in your heart doesn't really sit right. You do it for the wrong reasons than true love towards somebody, because that's what it means. God calls us to do things out of love, with an authentic message and with an authentic self. You really care a lot about this person deep in your heart than just on a surface level to make them think that you're this good person. I think that's what he's like referring to more than the first one I explained, but it can also mean the first one because, you know, it's not just like one thing. What do you think? What do you think about like that verse? That's kind of like how you would understand it, right? When people go to Christ and say, Lord, Lord, I've done this and that in your name.
It all comes down to like saying just you're a Christian. Like just because you say this and you go to church and you go through all the motions, like in your heart, like, are you really following Christ? Are you really taking on that call to action? Are you really surrendering yourself? Like we just said, like, are you really saying to God, I want X, Y, Z, and actually going through that pain, going through that narrow gate towards the thing that the Father has set out for you? Yeah. That's what it's really about. Like the more you go through that gate, the closer you get to Christ, the more you realize like, wow, in order to go through this, like I need Jesus. I need to get through this in order to get to him. Not to get to him, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, like, for sure. Be more likeness of him, because if you don't practice with your actions, how are you going to imitate somebody when you're doing the complete opposite of who that person is and what their lifestyle is like? You know what I mean? If Christ lived a specific way of loving his enemies, loving everybody, and told people truth regardless of how they felt, if you don't do that, you're not really trying to imitate image of God, or you're not trying to really follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. That's what it means when he calls us, preach the gospel, when he calls us to be Christians, is that same concept, is to believe in him and be his followers. And being a follower isn't somebody who chooses a different path to go on astray, but they choose the path of follower because they now want to be the example that the person in front of them was. That's what it means to be a true follower of Christ, because he showed us the way, showed us the path. This is how to live. It's not something you can ever achieve, right? But this is something that you can come to, because I came down from heaven in a human flesh to show you how to live, how to treat each other, since you all don't know. And I was willing to die on the cross for you, to forgive for your sins. Therefore, now you can do the same, forgiving others no matter what they have done to you, right? So that's where the strong message lies.
I even have a Bible verse picked out for the same exact one you said. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And this is also Paul's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And then the verse 2 is, I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I passed them on to you. You know what I mean? So like it's that physical work that he's telling us to do. Not just, I mean, spiritually you might be like very clean and you might be like, you might be saved, but then you're not doing any physical action that needs to be done for you to help other people out. You know what I mean?
Yes. Lead by example is the biggest one. Well, this is one thing that I've noticed. At some point in time, it's very hard to communicate to people how to follow Christ, what to do to, you know, it's not that what to do to be saved, because it's not something that you necessarily work your way to be saved. It's a gift. But when you, like, with your actions imitate how Christ lived, really understand that he was the man to trust and he was really somebody to be like, then what happens is you develop the characteristics of, you know, glorifying God. And because of that, now you're setting up example for other people. And it's not what you say to them, but they simply have to just look at your lifestyle, just see what you're doing day-to-day basis, just observe you for a couple months, and then they will understand, hey, like, I want a piece of that. I want what they're doing. Like, what is it that you're doing in your life that's different from mine? How are you? People have said, yo, how are you so positive? How are you so, like happy all the time? Why are you smiling all the time? These are the things that when people do notice, they question first. And then because they want to know, okay, what is it that this person does so different and that I don't have that I can have, right? Because we understand that I'm not anybody different. None of us humans, we're all the same. We're all under the same law from God. We're not really so different from anybody. What I can do in this life, most likely, so can you. You just need to really find the grace of God and really understand that you can be transformed through Him with His love when you choose to surrender yourself and really understand that there is a specific way to live when you are following Christ. You can't be a hypocrite. You can't say, I love Christ with all my heart, but then not love each other. You can't say, you know, I want to be a righteous person and I want to be clean spiritually and you know, be addicted to pornography, jerk off, look at women with lust, you know, do things that is very lustful and very dirty for your mind and your spirituality. You can't, it's being a hypocrite, just straight up. So once you want to do something, you also have to be willing to put the work to achieve that. Right? Amen.
Amen.
What a great episode.
Do you guys have stuff written down, like how to, like on a personal level, what helped you guys become like?
Well, I think we touched up on that when we said like to surrender yourself, to really, when you ask God for things or when you're getting these visions and stuff, like take on that call to action and face through that pain, that narrow gate.
That's what it comes down to. I'll just share mine then.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wrote like a couple of things. One of them was start reading Bible. You know, ever since I started reading the word, I started to understand.
Read the word.
I just started to understand things.
You don't actually much need better.
Yeah. Change your style of your lifestyle. You know what I mean? I feel like that's a big thing because you can't change unless you do things different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then ask and you shall receive.
Prayers. Done. Prayers yeah. work.
Yeah. And there's a Bible verse for that. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. As I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find it, find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And I just feel like people think that, or they just sometimes, which I think I was the same way too, pretty sure I would be like, I would ask God for something and then like I wouldn't receive it, and then I'd be like, oh, like I asked for it but I didn't receive it. But then I would probably realize, and then I would realize that it's either because I didn't really want it. I just asked for just to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just like when it's a real ask, like when you truly, truly ask with like all your heart, then like there's not a single chance that it will not be given to you. So
100%. Dude, it's so beautiful how like it is written and how he spoke. Can you imagine just being there and hearing him like talk with the words that he was saying? I think it's just beautiful, and it gives me chills to just think about the fact that you're in his presence and he's speaking to you this wisdom that you have no idea what he's saying, and he's got to explain it. But it's so deep when you understand it and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just such a beautiful thing to do. And like Georgie said, you've got to like really at least give Christ a chance, not your church necessarily. Not, I mean, yeah, obviously that too. You need to give church chance, people, Christians, all that kind of stuff, but really give God the chance to work in your heart, because he is the creator. He is who made us. He is who loves us before anybody else. He is the one who knew us before we were born, even before the world, our parents knew us. He knew us because he designed us a specific way. And with that love, when you turn yourself to that love, that source of overflowing love, there is nothing else that you can receive but love. And it's to the point where we unfortunately take it for granted, and you know, prayers work. There's no specific way that you need to pray. There's no specific things that you need to say. Speak your heart, because that's what God wants. God wants our hearts. God wants who we are as we are at the moment when we go to him, and then the rest, he's going to do it. You don't go to God when you're perfect, because you're never going to be perfect. You don't go to God when you think you're good, because you're never going to be good. Never go to God when you're clean, because you're never going to be clean. So he wants us specifically the way we are to go to him, because He's going to be the one cleaning our hearts. He's going to be the one cleaning us spiritually and mentally, because he knows what he's capable of doing in our lives. All we have to do is surrender, trust, and really walk with faith in his love. And that's why Mark 16, 15, Luke 4, 43, Luke 9, 2, Matthew 6, 3, 3 talks about being a follower of Christ, seeking the kingdom, preaching the gospel. Jesus told his disciples, go into the world and preach the gospel to everyone. Jesus said that he was sent to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus sent his disciples to preach the kingdom of God after training them. Jesus told his followers to seek first the kingdom of God, and then the rest will follow. So these are the key takeaways that we wanted to really preach today, and wanted to spread the message and the love that we have received in our lives. And the change that man we are is not because of us doing anything necessarily. It's not because we are good. It's not because we are different than you. It's not anything to do with that. It's because God is so good, and he loves every single one of you guys, every single one of us, so much that he was willing to die for our sins so that we can be saved. And because of that, he forms a relationship with us, that connection that he made with us, and the bond that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you believe, he can change your heart, and he can save you into being a better person, somebody that you never imagined your life to be. So we want this to be an inspiration and a motivation for every single one of you guys. And thank you for listening to us till this time, and giving us this much attention, and really consider what we've said, and reach out to us if you have any questions. Comment below what you think about the episode, and what you guys want us to talk about next. So let's get to quote of the day and shout out. Who wants to do quote of the day? Should I do quote of the day?
Go ahead.
Being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It's like a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ, by Billy Graham. Probably some pastor or something.
That's the guy in the black and white on the video.
Yeah. Okay.
I showed you earlier.
Yeah. So this guy said it perfectly based on what we talked about in this podcast, is when it comes to instantly changing, or in the process changing, of God changing your heart, comes with a process of your growth. That's not easy. It's not always sunshine and rainbows, but it is worth it at the end of the day. Shout out.
Mike, you want to do the shout out?
Do it.
Yeah, sure. Created by Danny Isakov.
Isakov. I wonder who this is. Our guest, maybe?
Maybe. Danny, it sounds familiar. Thanks for having me, guys. Had great conversations that I will cherish. Shine bright. Star emoji.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Yeah. It was an honor to have you as a guest and to have a conversation with you. Thank you for the shout out. This really means a lot to us when we get comments, positive comments, feedback, topic suggestions, because there are times where we have to sometimes plan the topic very shortly before the episode.
And it's hard.
So, yeah, exactly. It really helps us out to know what it is that you want us to talk about, what it is that you want to hear. Just, you know, tell us what is coming from your heart. What do you want us to explain and share our perspective and our ideas, our knowledge to you guys, and then we can go talk about that. So with that, guys, think big,
grow big.
Peace.